are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Willkommen, bienvenue, welcome.
You're listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gottsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus, FanRag Sports, the Hardball Times, and the ESPN Sweet Spot blog. You can find me on Twitter at my personal account, Stace Gotts, or at the Locked On Yankees handle. Please feel free to tweet at either account, just be nice. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoyed today's episode. There was a big trade today made by a New York team. No, not the Yankees, the Mets. I will be discussing how the Mets are doing what the Yankees should be doing and how the Yankees are sitting on their hands and why that worries me. Plus, there's some news and some dates to look back on, but first you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. I wasn't going to do this, and then the trade went down. The Mets got Francisco Lindor and Carlos Carrasco from the Indians for basically nothing. Not really, but from what I'm reading, the Mets got the better of the trade. This is the kind of move you want the Yankees to make, because the Yankees need pitching. I know a lot of Yankee fans were hoping they would go after Lindor. I feel as if the Yankees don't need Lindor if they sign DJ LeMahieu, but who the hell knows if they're going to do that? Because honestly, if they were going to sign him, wouldn't they have done it already? Although this move may make it necessary for the Yankees to sign DJ LeMahieu, and this also may make it so he has more leverage when re-signing with the Yankees. So this might be a good thing. But it could also turn into a disaster because the Yankees can turn around and say, we don't need DJ LeMahieu, we can work on stuff from the inside. Which is what I'm afraid they're going to do with regards to the rotation as well. I've said this many times. I know I heard this somewhere. I think Cashman said it on Yes, where they were talking about if they don't make a move for a pitcher during the offseason, they'll try during the trade deadline. And I felt that that was him basically saying, no, we're not going to try during the offseason, so wait until the trade deadline. And my feeling is if they do wait that long, you're going to see someone like Clint Frazier get traded. And good for Mets fans. They were excited when Steve Cohen took over ownership and he said that he was going to make a splash. And well, there you go. There's one move. Meanwhile, Yankee fans are sitting over here like,
well, we're waiting.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. The Yankees did make a move. They traded minor league reliever James Reeves for Padres outfielder Greg Allen. Greg Allen, who's 28, was part of the Mike Clevinger deal. He has 618 plate appearances in a four-year career. His line is 239, 298, 343. Mike Rosen of NewJersey.com thinks the Yankees could have the inside track on Corey Kluber because the Yankees Director of Health and Performance, Eric Cressy, has been working with Kluber throughout his rehab, and current Yankees pitching coach Matt Blake was the Director of Pitching Performance for the Indians before joining the Yankees staff last season. I'm not too high on Kluber just because of the injury history, and the Yankees do not have a good injury history of their own, and adding someone to the roster, it doesn't make any sense. But it's the Yankees, and you never know. His last full season of work was 2018. He was an All-Star. He finished third in Cy Young voting. He did very well. But in 2019, he was injured, and last year, he was injured. So, personally, I think the Yankees should stay away from him. They have enough question marks in their rotation without adding someone who hasn't pitched fully since 2018. I forgot to mention this the other day, but Phil Hughes officially retired from baseball earlier this week. I know a lot of people thought he already was retired, but he officially put out a statement earlier this week saying that he was hanging it up. The last time he pitched was 2018 as a member of the San Diego Padres. He began his career as a Yankee. I was supposed to see him pitch when he was a prospect for Trenton, and I didn't get to, and I still regret that 15 years later. But hey, I was at Game 3 of the 2010 Division Series, in which he pitched a shutout, and the Yankees swept the Twins, so that was a good highlight. I did also attend a few clunkers of Hughes's. One time, I nearly broke my ankle at Yankee Stadium the same day that he did really horribly, so it was just a doubly bad day. But I always liked Phil Hughes. I appreciate what he did for the Yankees, especially in 09 when he was in the bullpen and he did really well. So congrats to him on a long career and retirement at 34. I mean, people forget he was young when he first pitched for the Yankees. When he pitched that game in Arlington, when we all thought he was going to have a no-hitter and then he pulled his hamstring, he was only 20, 21 at the time. He was born June of 86. Right? And that was May of 07. So yeah, he was a baby when he came up for the Yankees. And Hughes, along with Ian Kennedy and Jabba Chamberlain, all had a lot of pressure put on them in 2007 when they were basically given the keys to the rotation and the Yankees were like, here you go. In a moment, we're going to go down memory lane because the discussion about Phil Hughes in 2007 has made me want to take a look at 2007 because that was an odd year for the Yankees. But first, are you ready for some football? College football is heading into its final on the 11th between Ohio State and Alabama. Right now, Ohio State is +8. Then in the NFL, we have the first week of the playoffs with matchups like the Colts against the Bills, with the Colts favored by 6, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Washington football team. The Washington football team is +9.5 over Tom Brady and the Bucs. That's an interesting matchup. And there's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Also this weekend, the Cleveland Browns are in the playoffs for the first time in a long time, and they're favored by 6 over the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Bears are facing the Saints, and the Ravens are facing the Titans. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Do you have a car? If you do, you should go to rockauto.com. Because rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. As I said, discussing Phil Hughes's retirement and mentioning 2007 has made me want to look back at 2007, which wasn't a great year for the Yankees, but it wasn't as terrible as we all thought it was going to be when it first started, because they were not good for a lot of that year. I was working at NBC at the time, and our executive vice president was a big Mets fan, and he was a loudmouth Mets fan, and he knew I was a Yankee fan, and he basically tortured me for the first few months of that season. Every single day. He would either come to my desk, he'd make an excuse to go see a salesperson who sat near me, but he would always stop at my desk to torture me. And what made it worse was his executive assistant was just as diehard as he was, and they loved to get under my skin. Now, I learned my lesson in 2004, never to crow before your team actually wins something. So when they were teasing me from April to about July, I just sat there and took it, and I told them that they probably shouldn't be bragging about anything until the team wins something. Now, the worst point of the season for the Yankees was May 29th. They were 14 and a half games behind the Red Sox. They were 9-14 in April, 13-15 in May. So they weren't doing very well to start off. But then they turned things around. June, they were 16-11. July, they were 19-9. August, they were 18-11. And September, they finished 19-8. In the first half, they were exactly 500. They finished 43-43, and then they went on a tear in the second half, and they finished 51-25. So that helped them a lot. They finished with a 94-68 record. But with the way they started, it didn't look like the Yankees were getting to that point at all. The playoffs seemed like a pipe dream. It seemed like nothing was going right for them. And then, as I said, they went on a roll. Now, while this was happening, the teasing stopped. Now, the Mets started off really well. They went 15-9 in April, 19-9 in May. Then June was the first month when they were under 500 at 12-15. July, they were 13-14. Then August, they recovered a little bit. They were 15-13. And September, they finished at 500. And that's what did them in. They had a number of losing streaks that didn't help them at all. They were up 7 games on September 12th. Going into the final game of the season against the Marlins, all they had to do was win. And I watched this game because the Yankees were already in the playoffs, and I wanted to see what the Mets were going to do in their final game because I knew if they lost, they would be knocked out of the playoffs. And this game did not disappoint because Tom Glavine came right out and basically buried the Mets. He walked Hanley Ramirez. He got Dan Uggla to ground out. Jeremy Hermita hit a single. Miguel Cabrera hit a single. Cody Ross hit a double. Mike Jacobs hit a single. Matt Traynor walked. Alejandro Deaza hit a single. He hit Dontrell Willis with a pitch. Sorry. That was just so funny. And at that point, the Marlins were up 5-0. And then they went up 7-0 after Jorge Sosa came in to replace Glavine. He gave up a double to Dan Uggla that scored Traynor and Deaza. So it was 7-0 at that point, and I couldn't stop laughing. I was only laughing because I knew that when I went into work the next day, I was going to have fun with my coworkers who were crowing all season. But I didn't do what you would think I would do. I didn't boast, I didn't brag, I didn't say a word to them. Although I will admit to walking in that morning and greeting my friend Joe, who was a Yankee fan and sat by the elevators. I walked in and I said, "Isn't it a glorious Monday morning?" And he knew what I was referring to. But as for my other coworkers, I didn't say a word to them. I didn't go down to their office. I didn't do anything. I just sat at my desk, did my work, and by noon they were both over at my desk saying, "Come on, give it to us." I said, "I am not bragging." I said, "My team is probably going to get eliminated from the first round, so I am not going to be talking crap to anyone." And I was right about the Yankees. They were eliminated by the Indians in the first round. I happened to be at Game 5. It was the first time that I was at a series losing game. I'd been at losses during the playoffs, but they were usually during the beginning of the series. I'd never seen my team eliminated in person. I'd never watched another team celebrate on the Yankee Stadium mound until that night, and it was not pleasant. Also not pleasant, my seats were in the first row of the upper deck of right field, and Travis Hafner nearly killed me 3 times during batting practice. Honestly, I should have moved after the first time. And you don't realize how fast those balls are coming up to that point, because when you see it on TV, you know the balls are hit hard, but it seems like they slow down a bit when they're coming into the upper deck. Not Travis Hafner. He nearly decapitated me. That was such a miserable end to that season. That was the season with the Midge game in Cleveland, which I still haven't forgiven Joe Torre for. Why wouldn't you drag them off the field and say, we're not playing with these bugs flying all over the place and eating our players? At that point, he needed to go, but it was still really frustrating. What a frustrating end, especially with the way the season began. Like I said, with the way they were playing in April and May, you didn't think that they would make the playoffs, and then they just went on a roll, and to have it end the way that it did was just a big bummer. You know, I didn't mean for the show to end on such a negative note, but hey, tomorrow's show is number 500, and I teased this on Twitter, but I figured that since it's the 500th episode, I would talk about a player who hit his 500th home run with the Yankees, and his 600th, and his 661st, and his 696th. That's right, Alexander Emmanuel Rodriguez. That is who the episode will be about tomorrow. So you have that to look forward to, and hey, maybe the Yankees might make a move at some point in the next 24 hours. I doubt it, but if they do, I will tell you all about it. But for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can subscribe to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Bets. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Thursday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.